Do you remember the name, the child, Jay North? How about his friend, Joseph Kearns? We recognize them better as Dennis the Menace and Mr. Wilson. No relation. You may have read the comic strip this morning in the newspaper or online. If you first met Dennis the Menace, the blonde-headed, I guess blue-eyed young man, mischievous as he was, often with that slingshot in his back pocket in the comic strip. And then in the dawn of TV, I know all of you remember that, 1959, came the TV show. The show and the comic strip follows the lives of the Mitchell family, Mom and Dad, Henry and Alice, and their only child, Dennis. That energetic, trouble-prone, mischievous, but also well-meaning young man who loved his quiet neighbor, Mr. Wilson. George Wilson had retired as a salesman and was home every day. And most of the day he heard the doorbell ringing, and who would be at his door but Dennis. Mr. Wilson and Dennis had probably a love-hate relationship. Dennis always seemed to aggravate Mr. Wilson, but usually without realizing it. But he also called Mr. Wilson his best friend. Mr. Wilson would always say, "Don't you have any other friends to go play with?" And sometimes he would leave. But Dennis always said, "Good old Mr. Wilson." Dennis always operated on the fact, I think, that Mr. Wilson was glad to see him and have him around, and their relationship continues as we read about them today. A picture of a young boy, the picture of a neighbor who probably most of the time wished he would never ring his doorbell and stay away, but ultimately had a deep and abiding relationship. There's another picture. There's a picture of Jesus. It's the one of Jesus inviting the little children to come to him, holding them in his arms and blessing them. How many of you remember that picture hung on the wall during Sunday school, seeing all the children coming to Jesus in many, many different painted forms? The King James Version says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." The Message, paraphrased by Eugene Peterson, reads, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. The disciples tried to shoo them off, but Jesus was irate, and he let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of the life of the kingdom. Mark this," Jesus says, "unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never get in." Then gathering the children in that image that we have, gathering them in his arms, he lays his hands of blessing on the children. If you were to go to your Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the words of Jesus: "Unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." a brief history of children in the first century. Most did not think a great deal about children in quite the same ways that we do today. Surely a child was born and regarded as a gift from God. They were seen as symbols of the future of that community. But on the other hand, they were indeed on the bottom of the social ladder. They were in many respects considered non-persons as a child. They were powerless, weak, unimportant, and had little standing in the community. It was in first century Roman world where female children were literally disposed of. They were not seen as adding anything to the life and the value of the family nor the community. In the Jewish culture of the first century, parents would often approach the rabbi and ask for a blessing of their children. So here we have the disciples with Jesus, the ones who were listening to him all the time, and they were gathered with him, and they see the children coming from a distance. And for whatever reason, we don't know, the disciples stop them. They shoo them away. They prevent them from coming, or attempt to prevent them from coming to Jesus. That beautiful, again, and uplifting image we have and we read, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Think about it. Think about that touch, that love, the presence of Christ that was real to that child at that moment. Our children are loved more than anything, and we bring them here to the altar and dedicate them to God along with their parents. For we want the blessing. We want the touch of Jesus. The most important thing that we can do is teach our children in the Martha Best Children's Center, in Sunday school, in Vacation Bible School, in our homes, is that Jesus loves them and they are the beloved children of God. As we literally turned the church over to children during Vacation Bible School, that was our hope. To not only share the power of God, but the love of Christ. While others in first century world felt children to be an inconvenience, Jesus, we read, took time to bless them. Jesus now also holds them up as an example to his disciples. It was those same disciples that we see in the next scene who are guilty of trying to run the children off and scolding the parents for bringing them. But we read where Jesus was indignant. He grew angry. He was irate at his own disciples, for they were trying to get the children to leave, and he was saying no. I don't think this was anger at the disciples. I don't think it was anger at those who were gathered around. But it was instead anger at the things that hurt people. Maybe you and I, maybe even the church, maybe we need more of that kind of anger today. The anger that stands up for that child in need. But next comes that wonderful moment in the story as we see the picture unraveling. And we see Jesus when he says, "Let the little children come unto me." And it was for the disciples at that very moment that they realized that they had made a mistake by preventing the children and the adults from coming to see Jesus. Maybe they thought they were protecting him, or maybe they thought they were doing what was the pattern of the new world that they were a part of. But no, they were preventing the children from coming. No one wants to prevent a child from coming to Jesus. Jesus then informs his followers that it's the children to whom the kingdom of God belongs. It is these, it's not these or those, it's these, the children. Jesus then, in that moving scene that we all have imprinted in our hearts and minds from a very young age, he picks up the child. He blesses them. He holds them in his arms. This was revolutionary in a time and a culture where children had no status, and Jesus was showing not only to the children, but to that community, how important that child really is. It is in the blessing that Jesus points to us of something profound about our spiritual life today, when he says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Does that mean a child like a Dennis the Menace in the comic strip? Does it mean like a child that we see disrupting the classroom and we wonder where on earth they begin from or where they're going? Is it the child that sits passively quiet and shakes the head and grins and says, "Yes, I understand"? It's children. It's not a description of this child or that child. It is children. For each of us, the child becomes the pattern of faith, the model for how any person can and should present oneself to God. With openness, with trust, with a sense of wonder, without any pretense at all, that we as adults or young people may bring to the situation, they simply open their arms wide and are embraced. You and I and the church welcome children as they are, not as we would choose them to be, not as extensions of our own human pride, but as they are. Not as people who will turn out to be what we want them to be, but who God wants them to be. Not even as people that we can protect from injury and hurt, but whom we choose to love and stay with and walk with through all the hurts of life. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about receiving the gift from God. And the grace of God is the gift to us. And children know how to receive a gift. Just think how they open a present when you give it to them, the excitement. Jesus is trying to tell us that we are to be like children receiving gifts when it comes to the kingdom of God. But for some reason, my friends, we seem to get it too complicated. We seem to mess it up. We seem to want to rationalize it. We seem to think we have to do this or that, or we have to change, or we have to be forgiven, or we have to quit doing that, when the grace of God says, "Come to me as you are, and I will give you grace and forgiveness." Just receive it. Receive it with the sparkle and joy that a child receives a gift. So the command, let the children come. It is several things. It is the welcome to the children and their parents and guardians. It is a rebuke to the disciples and to the church and to anyone who does not have enough time for children. And above all, it may serve as a warning to the church to always, always welcome children. In essence, is the invitation to us all to become little enough, if that is what is needed, to receive the kingdom of God. How often have you, when you're riding around in our community and beyond, have read and seen the billboards of a child, and on the billboard it has the words, "No kid hungry." It reads, 1 in 5 kids face hunger. Over the years, we as individuals, the church, have responded to community and schools, to other ways to assist in hunger, and even the backpack program. You may be aware, but I want to remind you again that the community and schools currently supports the backpack program in 3 Davidson County schools and all 6 Lexington City schools. 50 kids each school, 50 kids take home a backpack full of kid-friendly food every weekend of the school year. You may have seen in the paper, there are emphasis about taking meals during the summer most recently. Do you know it costs approximately $5 to feed a hungry child for 1 weekend? $200 for an entire year? Hunger is present all around us. On the average, 45% of students in Davidson County schools and 85% of students in Lexington City schools receive a free and reduced lunch this past year. And now Lexington City schools will be providing free lunch to all the start of the year. We all know that it's hard for a child to grow and learn if he or she is hungry. We also know that it was our Lord who broke and blessed the fishes and the loaves and fed the 5,000. We also know and hear the words of the Lord when he said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you gave me room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me, Jesus says. We welcome the children by doing many things in love and support, and one of these is to feed the children of this community and others. For Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the one who leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one lost sheep. Christ is the one who finds you and picks you up and carries you home and makes sure you're fed and taken care of. Jesus is the one in the parables and in life that shows us that we are to minister and meet the needs of children everywhere. We ask, we wonder, we read, and we speculate on how do I enter the kingdom of God? And the answer is right in front of us: to become like a child. The problem of hunger should never exist in our world today. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. The psalmist gives us those wonderful words. When no one else notices you, when no one else is there to bother with you, God is there. He is the one who goes and searches the one and leaves the 99. For God, you are endlessly looked after. God doesn't get tired. God searches for you and wherever you are. This is the God who has his eye on the sparrow, the one who keeps your tears in a bottle. This is the God who took out those divine knitting needles and knitted you together stitch by stitch in your mother's womb. This is also the God who tallies the number of the hairs on your head. Admittedly, that's easier for some, but he still counts the very hairs. It's a picture. It's a picture of Jesus opening his arms to a child. He's opening those arms to you as well. For this is the God that there are no anonymous sheep. to whom nobody is written off, for whom no one is lost in the crowd. This is the God who says, one lost sheep, one lost coin, one sinner, lost and found. And that could be you, and that could be me. The executive director of the Baptist Fellowship shared these words in an article, and I quote, "We must always be asking ourselves these questions. How do we order our personal and collective lives so that we allow for the unfolding of what God knitted together within our children, the children of our churches, our schools, our neighborhoods, and our homes? How do we order our lives to encourage the unfolding of what God wove into children whom we never know?" She writes, "What a tragic waste when we fail. What a gift when we succeed. Fearfully and wonderfully indeed is the work of Almighty God in the gift of children. The kingdom of God is as simple as that. Are we willing to open our lives to the Father? Amen."